is with him 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. 1097.
Thank you. Let us read the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he now help us in prayer. Most holy and gracious Lord, we pray thy abundant blessing on our services today. We come on mercy's ground, unworthy, undeserving. We plead the name and merit and finished work of thy beloved Son, our only hope, our only play. O do receive us graciously. But may thy blessing be upon us, and thy gracious presence felt. We pray this place might be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, that we might be here on an errand of mercy. Oh, that it might be, yea, he decreed the very place where he would show triumphant grace. That word, he must needs go through Samaria, and may there be that same vital necessity for thee to come into our midst today, that some poor soul for the first time might spiritually thirst, and that others, through grace, might with joy draw water from the wells of salvation. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit. We pray his gracious influence and presence and power today, that the word feebly spoken might be in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. May we truly worship at Emmanuel's feet. Oh, give us a spirit of true worship, to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. Set our affections on things above. Subdue sin, shut out the world, deliver us from Satan's temptation, deliver us from that vile unbelief. Oh, make our hearts soft, increase our faith, give us real repentance. And we pray that our sin might be forgiven, that we might be washed in the Redeemer's blood, and by faith behold the Lamb of God, once crucified, now forever exalted. Oh, may we know his love. We pray we might walk out that blessed word we have read, looking unto Jesus, in dependence and in hope. We pray for that sweet savour of Christ in the gospel, that it might be made to many the savour of life unto eternal life. And may the heavenly dew descend upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life for evermore. We pray to know the Saviour's love, that having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them even to the end. And then may there be the sanctifying effect of the truths we believe in our hearts and in our lives, that we might walk tenderly before thee in thy fear, kept by the power of God. And oh, may the streams of that sacred river freely flow in our midst and into our hearts, those streams that make glad the city of our God. For there is so much to make us sad without within, in the churches, in our families. But may we know that river whose streams make glad the city of our God. We pray for those who have come today seeking thy face, saying we would see Jesus. Those who long that their souls might be fed with the bread of eternal life. Bless the seeking, longing, inquiring souls. And where there are blind eyes and deaf ears, may they be opened, we pray, that the saying might come to pass that is written, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the blind shall see out of darkness and out of obscurity. We thank thee for thy holy word. May it be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and do open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We beg thy blessing in this sanctuary. Command thy blessing on the gospel ministry here. Do send Christ exalting ministers who shall lift the Saviour high. And if it can please thee, according to thy purpose and thy ancient promise, a pastor according to thine own heart, to feed the church with knowledge and with understanding. And may there be the prayerful concern for it. But may this be a well-watered garden with many plants of the Father's right-hand planting. Bless those who have the care and responsibility, and grant thy blessing in the Sabbath school. We do pray that bread cast on the waters may be found after many days. We would pray for the young people and the children here, that clear work of thy Spirit, bringing them to the feet of the Saviour in all their need. But may there be that clear work, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. May they feel their need of that blessed refuge, seek it, find it, testify of it. For we believe thy inward teachings make us know our danger and our refuge too. We pray for those who are growing old. We pray for the families and parents bringing up children in thy fear. And we pray for those who have to mingle with the world in business, that thy eye might be upon them, that they might be under the shadow of the Almighty. Have mercy on our land, the increasing wickedness and dishonouring of thy name and thy word and thy day. Our only hope is in thy word. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. We pray thou wilt do it. Set a bound which they cannot pass over. And may even the wrath of man praise the Lord. We do pray for our ministers, the Lord be with them, the new ministers, the old ones, the afflicted ones, the Lord be with them, and may they be under thy watchful care as they journey today. Do help them. And remember our churches and revive them in the midst of the years. And we think of our own beloved flock and thy dear servant, we hope is with them. The Lord grant thy blessing and be a wall of fire round about, and the glory in the midst. And we think of thy people throughout the earth, and many suffering for Jesus' sake, in isolation, in poverty, in need. Oh, do remember them in thy love and in thy mercy. We pray especially for those in trouble, here and throughout our chapels, those with the long drawn out sorrows, and we pray for them here, the illnesses, and those with hard causes. May they still hear thee saying, that cause that is too hard for thee, bring it to me, and I will hear it. Oh, but above all, bless us personally and savingly. Make us real Christians washed in the Redeemer's blood. Do make us right, make us ready, prepare us for eternity. May that day not come upon us unawares. Oh, we pray to be found sheltering beneath the Saviour's blood. And may our prayers now come up acceptably. Through him, thy beloved Son, a great and glorious High Priest, once crucified, now forever exalted, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 303. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. 303.
with the Lord's help, I will speak to you from the chapter we read, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The 12th chapter, the Epistle to the Hebrews, verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The apostle's theme is the wonderful privileges of the people of God in Christ. And what privileges they are. Sinners not just forgiven, not just delivered from a deserved hell, but blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And how unworthy the Lord's people are of the least of all these mercies. So we have here these gospel privileges. And especially, the apostle is contrasting the Old Testament and the New. What God's people were under the law, and what they now enjoy under the gospel. And so he speaks of two mountains, Sinai representing the law, and Zion representing the gospel. And he says, you're not come unto Sinai, but you come unto Mount Zion. The difference between the law and the gospel. Of course, there was no salvation under the ceremonial law. It only pointed to Christ, and it was a burden to them. But then you see that law of works, that law of condemnation. He says, you're not come to the mount that might be touched and that burnt with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of trumpet and the voice of words. The terrors of God's holy law. Cursed be every one that continueth not in all points written in the book of the law to do them. But you know how beautifully our hymn writer speaks on this. Thus Sinai roars, and round the earth thunder and fire and vengeance flings, but Jesus, thy dear gasping breath and Calvary speak gentler things. And that's it, isn't it? That's the gospel. That's what we love. That's our hope. These gentler things that flow from Calvary. You not come to the mount that might be touched, that burnt with fire, with blackness and darkness and tempest, but you come unto Mount Zion. He lists many things here. Quite unusual, quite striking, that through the gospel, the Lord's people are brought into union with the saints in heaven, the angels in heaven, and the saints on earth, a threefold union. And then you see he concludes it with this, he keeps the last of the best and to Jesus. That crowns it all. That's the chief of all the privileges. Ye are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect. Now this, and to Jesus. Now that crowns it all. And that's the foundation of all these other things that have come before. That's the only ground on which the sinners delivered from the law, delivered from Sinai. The only ground on which he'll get to heaven at last. The only ground on which he's brought into living union and fellowship with the people of God and to Jesus. So when we can consider these words, and to Jesus, we must always bear in mind that this "and to Jesus" comes at the end of a very long sentence. So really what it is, ye are come to Jesus. You see, ye are come, and it's to this and something else and to Jesus. So how we look at it this morning, and ye are come to Jesus. Now, let's be clear, beloved friends. When the apostle says you're not come to all these other things, he doesn't mean they hadn't been there. It doesn't mean God's people are not brought there. It doesn't mean that it's not needful for them to be brought there. There are two sides to real religion, you know, sin and salvation. When he says you're not come to these things, his point is you have been there, but you're delivered from them. These are not your resting place. These are not your hope. So, in greater or less measure, you will be brought into these things. A solemn eternity, the judgment day, the need to be right, our unfitness, our sin, our lost condition, that one day we must give an account. We are brought there. And this is the Holy Spirit's work. Really, isn't it old Daniel Herbert who puts it so simply? He said, let us here begin. Do I feel my need of Christ to save my soul from sin? Now, that's where the Holy Spirit brings the sinner to feel his need of Christ. Some have greater terrors, some have lesser terrors, but all brought under condemnation to feel their need of a Saviour, to feel their need of Christ. And the Holy Spirit never leaves his work unfinished. And this is the end of the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, to bring these sinners who are loved with an everlasting love, to bring them and to Jesus. To bring them to Jesus in all their helplessness and sin and need. So Really, this is the subject this morning. I want to bring before you with the Lord's help, and it's a vital subject. And probably we won't get much further than these opening words, because there's everything in them. There's salvation in them, there's heaven in them, and to Jesus. If you're bound up in these words, if you're bound up in the text, if the Holy Spirit has taught you your need, if he's led you in your helplessness to Jesus, then heaven is yours. And I did feel, when you were singing that most beautiful hymn now, if that was the language, the real language of your heart, then you'll get to heaven. You come unto Jesus. Other, what did you sing? Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. That's the language of a sinner brought to Jesus. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. That's the language of a guilty sinner brought to Jesus, and to Jesus. Really, the first promise concerning a Saviour was that in the garden, wasn't it? The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. But the next promise was concerning the coming of Shiloh. I take it Shiloh means peace. It's a beautiful title of the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Shiloh. This is the one to whom sinners are brought. Till Shiloh come. Now this is it. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's it. Here come to Jesus. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. To Shiloh. His name is the Prince of Peace. There's no peace anywhere else. And if the Holy Spirit is bringing you even unto Jesus, that false peace you once had, it will be stirred up, it will be lost. What shall I do, or whither flee to escape the vengeance due to me? Still seeking peace, finding none. But the Prince of Peace. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Shiloh, he made peace by the blood of his cross. Shiloh, he gives peace to a troubled conscience. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be ye afraid. And he is our peace. He is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between Jews and Gentiles, and between a holy God and a guilty sinner. Now, it is unto Jesus. Unto Jesus. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The wonderful thing, if our gathering today is unto Shiloh, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. And it's a beautiful promise, but sometimes our congregations presume on it. Now, do we just come to chapel, or does the Blessed Spirit gather us? Where two or three are gathered together, and in my name, there am I. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, may we be gathered even unto Jesus today. May we be gathered in this blessed gospel word. May we be gathered with it in our heart till Shiloh come, the Prince of Peace. And the word that I felt so precious over the years, and this man, this glorious man, shall be thy peace. And with me, that other word, I don't know why, always seems connected with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. That terrible rough wind that would destroy you. But he's the Prince of Peace. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of his east wind. And this man shall be the peace. It's unto him that the gathering of the people shall be. And to Jesus. It's to Jesus they're brought by the Spirit of God. It's to Jesus they're gathered as the Saviour. That's what the name Jesus means. And whenever you think of the name of Jesus, it has a relationship with us in our sinful, lost condition. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He was the Son of God from everlasting. But that name, Jesus, it's bound up with his coming into this sinful world, with a covenant engagement, with a purpose to save sinners and to save them, with an everlasting salvation. So it's to Jesus as the Saviour that we come, because we need saving, we need salvation, and we come with that prayer that he will save us by his grace, by his blood. A guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall, be thou my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus and my all. That's how the Holy Spirit gathers these sinners to the feet of Jesus. Sinners in their helplessness, sinners in their need, sinners seeking salvation. And to Jesus. To Jesus as the Saviour, to Jesus as the only refuge, the only refuge. Pondering this word, a sinner being brought to Jesus, I was thinking yesterday on this point, that a sinner is brought to Jesus as his only refuge. And of course we've sung two hymns on that blessed point already. And don't they most beautifully open up this sacred truth? The sinner's refuge. You see, by nature we don't feel our need of a refuge. If you were to go outside the chapel and walk down the road in Swavesey, you wouldn't find people looking for a refuge. But if it was a thunderstorm, they would. Now that's just it, you see. When the new birth takes place, it's like that thunderstorm. You need a refuge. And in the Holy Spirit's work, there are always the two sides. And he'll teach you your danger, and then he'll teach you your refuge, a refuge for sinners. The gospel makes known it is found in the merits of Jesus alone, and to Jesus, to be brought to Jesus as your refuge. The wonderful thing that sinners are welcome, that sinners are invited. How those cities of refuge were prepared under the law, and what directions to get there, and what a welcome for the manslayer with the avenger of blood after him. And if God the Spirit revealed this to you, take refuge in Jesus, though hell should pursue. It's unto Jesus. This is the ground of our hope, unto Jesus. It is to Jesus, as our foundation. We have no other foundation than this. We don't need another, but to be brought away from every vain hope, every false foundation, and then to see that sure foundation laid in Zion. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Holy Spirit will bring you to Jesus as your foundation to build your hope. It's solid ground. It's the rock of ages. You may shake and tremble, but the rock foundation will never shake and tremble. And you might shake on the rock, but Satan can never shake you off the rock. It's unto Jesus, that blessed foundation. Unto Jesus. To Jesus as your resting place. As your resting place. Because when you're brought to feel your need, you can't find any rest, can you? Everything cries out, this is not your rest, it is polluted. But then you see it in the gospel. The Holy Spirit reveals it to you in the gospel. There remaineth therefore now in Christ a rest for the people of God. Oh, I know that rest might now believe and enter in. And then to hear that heavenly voice, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's unto Jesus. You come unto Jesus. The sinner's resting place. The church says, I sat down under his shadow. That's the place where she found rest. She couldn't sit down anywhere else. This is not your rest. You know, doesn't Philpott speak very beautifully on it? He said, a sinner taught by the Spirit of God will never be allowed to find a resting place short of Christ. He said, a weary traveller going home a cold night, a long journey. Oh, there's a little seat by the roadside. It's so welcome. He sits down there. But he cries out, this is not your rest. And he goes a little bit further. He's weary. He leans against a stile. But he knows this is not his rest. In his weariness, he must press on till he reaches the warmth and comfort of his home, and there and only there can he rest. Look at Philpott speaks of all these little helps we have. You know, the old Scottish divines used to say, a perhaps of salvation, a perhaps, let no one despise it, let no one rest in it. It still press on to perfect day. But the Holy Spirit will bring unto Jesus the sinner's resting place. Like Bunyan's pilgrim, he didn't find any rest, did he? Till he came to the cross and his burden rolled away. He said, he's given me rest. By his sorrow, rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man who there was put to shame for me. Ye are come unto Jesus. I sat down under his shadow. It's the only place beneath the shadow of the cross. But you know that awakened soul who's being gathered to Shiloh by the Spirit of God, being brought unto Jesus, seeking rest and finding none, is something like Noah's dove. You know, Noah sent forth a dove, it found no rest with the soul of its thought. All its old resting perches were completely covered over by the overwhelming flood, nor could it find any rest until returning to the ark. Noah reached out his arms and pulled it in. I remember Mr. Foster of Nottingham preaching on that. He said, pull, Lord, pull, Lord. And I'll say with this living, longing, awakened soul, that rest, let us fear, lest any of us come short of it. You're afraid you're going to come short of it. It seems that weary dove could hardly reach the ark. But there was a loving eye and a loving hand, and Noah pulled her in. And you see, there, pull us to thy loving breast, there we find the gospel rest, and to Jesus. Well, if we're led by the Spirit of God, to Jesus, how are we brought? Well, it's by faith. It's not a physical coming. It's by faith, led and drawn by the Spirit of God, seeing all we need in the Saviour, resting on his promise as we come. And it's in prayer. It's to the throne of grace. Grace means that sinners are welcome. It's to the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is sprinkled with blood. And that means sinners are welcome. Now, that's how the sinner in his helplessness and sinfulness and weakness and need is led to the Saviour. It's by faith, it's in prayer. And the apostle speaks of a great and glorious high priest, and he emphasizes this one point that he sympathizes. He understands, he cares. Let us therefore come boldly. Don't let that frighten you. It doesn't mean a carnal boldness. It means with a humble confidence. It means with that liberty God has given us, let us therefore, as led by the Spirit, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? What does our hymn writer say? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? For Jesus fills the throne. Now that says it's unto Jesus. For Jesus fills the throne. Let us therefore come boldly, that we may obtain mercy. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm sure a few of you can come in there in time of need and unto Jesus. Perhaps the way we can illustrate how a sinner comes. When the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, there were many came to him, weren't there? But to take one very beautiful example, poor blind Bartimaeus. He came even unto Jesus. He was brought even unto Jesus. And the little old hymn says, ye must be brought to Jesus. Don't be satisfied with anything short of that. But you see, here was this poor blind beggar, and he heard them saying, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But he didn't want Jesus of Nazareth to pass him by. So he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that's how he was brought to Jesus in prayer. A blind beggar and a saviour. And don't forget that wonderful word, and Jesus stood still. It seems there were many people in Jericho, but it was a beggar's cry that made Jesus stand still. But in a sense, you know, when we meet for worship, as we do this morning, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But if your religion's real, you don't want him to pass you by. Now, this is how the sinner comes to Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. But you see, faith is given clear views of the Saviour. He's more than Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of God. He's the promised Messiah. He's the one who's undertaken to open the eyes of the blind. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And you might say, but Bartimaeus, what you want is to receive your sight, isn't it? Yes, says Bartimaeus, but he didn't pray that, he said mercy. And that's how a sinner's brought to Jesus, on mercy's ground, because whatever it is we seek, whether it's forgiveness, cleansing in his precious blood, acceptance, preparation for heaven, whatever it is, it's on the ground of mercy. If it's something in providence, it's on the ground of mercy. Because we don't deserve it. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. And they tried to stop him. They tried to silence him. Now, this is how a sinner is brought to Jesus. You can't stifle living faith. You can't stifle a beggar's cry. He cried out the more. And it was the very same words. Don't be afraid of your prayer being the same today as it was yesterday, so long as it's not vain, empty repetition. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he got the answer, he got the blessing, and so will you, as you're led by the Spirit as a sinner to the feet of the Saviour and to Jesus. Well, what does the sinner come to the Saviour for? Well, I suppose this is a vast subject, and I suppose many sermons could be preached on it if the minister had the grace and the time and the ability. Ye are come to Jesus, seeking his face. Seeking forgiveness, seeking cleansing in his precious blood, seeking to be made right, seeking to be prepared for eternity, seeking to be made meet, to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, and to Jesus. Brought to his feet, nothing in yourself, everything in the Saviour, and to Jesus. Not just in the beginning of a work of grace, but in your troubles and in your sorrows and in your distresses and in your temptations, and to Jesus. Desiring his help. Divine Almighty help. With that prayer, Lord help me. And to Jesus, begging for his strength. Daily strength for daily needs. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And to Jesus, with all your prayers in providence, begging that according to his holy will, he'll hear and answer them. And to Jesus, to that wonderful fullness of grace and love and mercy, as you feel your own emptiness. And to Jesus, asking that all your needs, body and soul, providence and grace, all of them might be richly supplied. And to Jesus, seeking everything in him, desiring to know him, that I may know him, to know his life eternal, seeking to love him, seeking to know that he loves me. Ye are come unto Jesus. Now, there are many things in this verse that open up some of the glories that are in the Saviour. But one last thing this morning. It's a sinner being led by the Spirit of God to Jesus. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. But it's unto Jesus only. It's unto Jesus only. See, other refuge have I now. It's to hang on Jesus only. It's to look to Jesus only. It's to rest on Jesus only. You see, popular religion today, they say, well, yes, perhaps you're right, but we are right as well. But the testimony of the gospel is none but Jesus. None but Jesus. And under the teaching of the Lord, that's the place, the blessed place to which you will be brought. None but Jesus. None but Jesus. From his blood, our hopes arise. He's our hope. But he is our only hope. He's our trust, but he's our only trust. It's like the three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and when they looked, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, may that be well engraven on our hearts. One thing is needful. Here we are in our lost, ruined condition. One thing is needful, and it's Jesus only. To be brought to him, Jesus only. My oldest godly church member is nearly 97 years old, and she can't remember these days. But with a smile, she told me this week, you know, she said, there's only one thing I can really remember. And I said, what's that? She said, it's this. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above. But that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. And all the time she kept coming, she said, this is the only thing I can really remember. Now, you see, that's the way to be brought along, to be brought through, to be brought to our end. None but Jesus, Jesus only, ye are come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling. That speaketh better things than that of Abel.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £645, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Ramsbottom hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pickett next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for the disaster relief in Haiti. Hymn 144. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. 144.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us forever. Amen.